Welcome back to WNST and Baltimore Positive. We got Kirby Fowler here. We got admirers, man. You're like, ever since I had TJ Smith here, I mean, O'Malley, people liked him okay, but like, you're like the most popular dude that's been here. Everybody waves to you.
Can we stop this right now?
I'm done.
Before we jump back to Kirby, tell folks what just happened here when we were off there. A couple guys walking in because it makes our point.
And creative. Henry and Jeff came up and said, Baltimore Positive, I like your message. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I'm like, you sound like me on the radio.
Yeah, they're singing our song. And it's our sponsors at Jennings and State Fair and Fadley's and Center Maryland that make all of this positive. Kirby, thanks again for being
here.
We got a number of things to talk about, but we are in the Lexington market. They're undergoing a big facelift, brand new market, very exciting. I think there's a groundbreaking coming up, and you're kind of proud of the role you played in it. So walk us through it.
Sure. So first of all, when I talk about any of these achievements, you should all know there's so many different players, public, private, that made things happen. Yeah, I'm not trying to take credit all for myself. Back in about 6 years ago, I was sitting in a board meeting of the Public Markets Corporation, and I said, does anybody have any vision for any of these markets?
Right.
And I heard crickets. And thankfully, then it was under Stephanie Rawlings-Blake, they heard what I was saying, and they started to transform the board, and they started to put some support behind transforming the markets. And so we started first with Cross Street Market, and that's...
Why was there an aversion to it? Too big a project, too old, too this, too that?
I think people just said in the ways they thought, things can't change. Lexington Market is always going to be this way.
Never could.
Yeah, exactly. So I was so frustrated, I was about to resign from the board. But then, unfortunately, I opened my mouth, and then they made me board chair, which I did for four years.
Is that fortunate or unfortunate? I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know. I don't know. But no, it's nice to have the opportunity to try to transform these places. And then Colin Tarbert took on the Broadway market, a part of the portfolio. But Lexington Market's been the baby that I've been most concerned about because it's right in the heart of downtown and it's so historic. And over the years, we've recognized the challenges with the building. Right now, we're in a great space. Fadley's has so much character. But the rest of the market, you look up, you see dark ceilings. There seems to be very little life. Actually, the darkness sort of presses down on you, as you can tell from the floor.
Well, one of the good parts is I came here as a little boy and I walked in through the world-famous sign down on the north side of the building. And I feel like it's 1972, and I'm 4 years old. My grandmother's...
So that's cool.
That's awesome.
That's it, yeah.
But it's still... It's too much. It's too much like that. It's like Memorial Stadium. You can walk through it right now, but it just still wouldn't be as functional as you want it to be. Right?
And there's all this cinder block, and there's very little natural light. The slope of the floor is not ADA accessible, so people in a wheelchair will go flying down it.
We're sloping on it right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you can see from... Actually, not as much here, but some of the other booths are built up so high because of the slope that the vendor and the customer don't have a human contact.
What year is it? 17? What year?
1780. Well, somewhere around here.
I want to say 1789.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I just saw it right here somewhere.
Or 1786, I think 10 years after the revolution, I think is what we said.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
Right.
And the floor's been sloped the whole time.
Right. And that's actually a good point because people think this is it. No, there's been several iterations of this market over the years. So this is going to be the next one. But we had to address all these different problems. But also we had a lot of duplication of vendors just providing the same thing. But one thing we always want to make sure of, the people who are coming here to shop, especially the lower income individuals, you want to make sure they can still come to a new market and still find the goods that they can afford. It can't be all glitzy. And yet we want a mix. We want a mix of things because we want everybody to come back to Lexington Market. We feel like that's sort of tapered off. You don't hear about a lot of people who work downtown and live downtown coming here a lot. In fact, rarely. And unfortunately, that's tapered off a lot from the surveys we've done.
Say that again, Kirby.
So
make that
a
point
guy
again.
Like me,
yeah, make that
living
point
in
again.
Federal Hill, does not walk here often enough.
That's right. And sometimes you come here, but some people don't. They don't step foot in here. There's a lot of opportunities now.
This is where image and reputation really lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
When I get off a plane anywhere at the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago with a Baltimore hat or a Raven, you know, football team, nice, you know? I mean, baseball team, not so nice, but the city, there used to be this part. And it's the reason we're doing Baltimore Positive. I used to get off a plane and say, oh, Harbor Place, Crab Cakes, Cal Ripken, Ray Lewis, Star Spangled, but whatever it would be. I had a great meal there. I went to the Harbor. I took my kids to the aquarium. I went down for a Red Sox game. Whatever it was, Now there's only one thing they talk about, and it's not where we need to change that conversation. And part of that is creating new awesome things that people talk about.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that the physical environment determines what happens outside as well. The negative influences that could occur. Because if you have an aging building that hasn't seen investment in decades, yeah, it sometimes attracts some bad activity.
That's a broken window kind
of. Yeah,
that's
true. And actually, just quickly, Healthcare for the Homeless used to have an office right on Park Avenue here, and they're advocates for the homeless, and they themselves had to call the police sometimes to handle some of the issues because their building was pretty run down. They opened up this gorgeous new building right off of Falls Way, and same clientele, no phone calls to the police because they have a brand new building that's LEED certified, good air, good.
Because the water runs and the bathrooms work.
Yeah, yeah. And people just feel like they're honored. I mean, that they deserve something good, you know, when they walk into a place that has gotten some attention. So that's a driving force behind this new market that'll be on the surface parking lot south of this building. We are breaking ground next week. We have worked with Seawall to help us develop the project, and Southway Builders will be the contractor. They're literally breaking ground, and people were always doubting, but we raised the money. Breaking ground, and at some point in 2021, it'll be open there. And then this will try to find a new use for the East Market where we're standing right now.
Now, have you been involved at all in the discussions with current vendors? Because anytime you do something like that, there's you'll
stress.
Get some pushback.
Why just walk past the sausage place? It's closed.
Current vendors, and what do they do?
It's not there. Right.
Yes, yes. Well, we've deferred to the market management as well as Seawall to handle that. So I have not been as much involved, but I've heard. But it's a challenge. On the other hand, there's probably too many. If you look at some of the great markets of the country, like Reading Market, they don't have this many vendors. A few years ago, we were up to about 100 vendors. That is, you don't have that number of vendors anymore in markets. And so gradually, different leases have been burning off. So, and it's worked because we can't bring 100 vendors over to the new market. So you're going to have to terminate some, and thankfully some just terminated on their own lease terms. But some also are going to be invited to come over and say, hey, but we also need you to clean up your act a little bit. Perhaps try different food ideas. Don't have so much of your storage right there on the counter. You know, there has to be more appeal to the shopping experience. So that's a challenge, and Seawall's handling it well.
So the hope would be when the new market opens, Kirby, if you could fast forward to five years ahead, and we come back in and we do a story on Lexington Market. What's the story 5 years from now?
First, it should be that the community that has been shopping here for decades and they've been committed to coming here can still go to that market and purchase whatever they need
and afford it,
and so forth. So that's number one. Number two is that we're drawing in, you'll see more people from throughout the city, region, country who are coming in. You'll hear about people talking on an airplane that they went to Lexington Market and be proud of it. I have seen, literally, I've done some my own shifts up here, cleaning and safety work, and I've seen people who are heading up here that clearly look like tourists. They have the fanny packs.
Nestor talks about them walking in all the time with their luggage, coming from the train station or the airport.
And that's low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, because people know about it. It's one of the top five things they probably hear about when they think about downtown Baltimore. So they come here, but we have to provide a good experience for them. So that, but also it's going to be a great diversity of food product, healthy foods. You know, we've had here some of our vendors in the past have had health violations because of the way the food is presented, and we don't want any of that. So it's going to be a top-notch restaurant. It should be an attraction, especially right next door. You probably see construction going on. Mm-hmm. There's an apartment building and hotel coming there, and Hippodrome is right after that. So you're going to have a clear stretch all the way to Camden Yards, which would be a wonderful walk for anybody. So
we we always say, and our loyal listeners know it's true, there's never a straight line on Baltimore Positive. So interesting that when you mentioned the Hippodrome, because like many, many folks around the region and county residents, my wife and I love the Hippodrome, go quite a few times during the year.
Wicked.
One of our first wicked right now. Go to hippodrome.com.
Somebody asked me for tickets yesterday.
Tickets, right. There you go.
Do you have tickets?
No.
But the question is, and I don't know if you shared this as the CEO of Downtown Partnership, I have been frustrated over the past 10 or 15 years that the area around the Hippodrome has not exploded. It would seem to me that, and I know Ron Legler would agree and others, that with the Hippodrome's success, you would have expected an explosion of restaurants and residents. What's been the challenge there?
It was going strong for a while. There was this restaurant called Maggie Moore's that was really popular.
I did business there. I began my Free the Birds march there. So there.
Oh, really?
There
you go. Good,
yeah.
Good.
I knew those fellas.
It's really
real
well
Irish
run.
Folks.
Yeah, exactly. Really well run. But they, and this is again where
John,
it's not always about the city. They had a fight with the landlord, and that great restaurant disappeared. And they just haven't been able to find a good replacement for it. They did find one, but it didn't hang in there. Some new restaurants have popped up, but not the number you would think. But here's my theory, is that the Hippodrome opened in 2004. And some of these other apartments were coming online, too. But then the Great Recession hit.
Okay.
And then we have Calvert Street, Charles Street, Light Street, Pratt Street. We all have to pay attention to the gigantic buildings, like the former Mercantile Building, emptying out, now full. You know, 10 Light, which was where M&T was. No, not M&T. Sorry, Miles of Stockbridge. That emptied out, too. And then now it's full of residents. But we had to address those blocks that were such in the core that you can't you can give much attention. I could not bring a developer investor from the Inner Harbor through past empty buildings to get to Howard Street and get them interested in Howard Street. You know, so
it felt far away.
It's too far away. And now that we stabilized the downtown core and grown it, now there's a focus on Howard Street. Thanks to 520 and 500 Park Avenue, they've brought a lot of health from there, so it's coming down to 400 block. And Baltimore Development Corporation has some really good leads on some other properties in Howard Street, so it's coming. I mean, the fact that there's construction going on just south of us, and in a week or two there'll be our own construction in Lexington Market, it's back. But the recession got in the way, I think, of that development.
Well, there's a mechanic space, too, that's kind of like an empty hole. I see Dan Roderick sitting over in the corner there, and I read about him saying this big empty hole. You know, that's four blocks from my house.
Yeah.
That's where the theater used to be, and he used to go to the theater. I used to go to the mechanic. That was more centrally located, even though it was a generation ago.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. It's a shame, and I don't want to beat up on anybody because this is about positive. But when they chose the Hippodrome site, there should have been a backup plan for the mechanic immediately. And
sure.
Yeah, because you knew you were moving an asset from the core. And then also people don't understand the hole is a hole right now because of private litigation.
That's not unlike. It's funny. We did just have Mary Miller on, and again, if you're trying to learn about mayoral candidates, almost all of them are here on Baltimore Positive. Go check them out.
All one of the things to stand.
What you just said about the mechanic, Mary made that argument about the red line. She said her fault was that the city never had a contingency plan or a strategic plan that should the red line not work, should it fall through. And all of a sudden,
well, we
it was like,
on plan
all of a sudden,
a, there is no plan
we woke
a,
up
right?
and there yeah, was yeah, no yeah. plan B.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you're saying that about the mechanic.
Yes.
Now, what do you say, Kirby? This is a really interesting topic. I'm going to try to tie them all together. You got State Center, you've got the office space downtown at Charles Center and others. And I've tried to follow that. I've got a lot of friends of mine who are on both sides of that issue, quite honestly, I mean, passionately on both sides. So
I've met them.
You know them. So explain to folks what the discussions have been, and it has to do with whether we invest up by State Center or we focus on the core. Talk about what the discussion has been and then where the partnership's been on that.
Sure. Well, with regard to State Center, it's an important neighborhood in our city. It connects a lot of strong neighborhoods with some weaker neighborhoods. And
tell
it
folks
bring those,
where it is.
Okay, so it's near the Baltimore Symphony. It's up Howard Street, Martin Luther King, right up near Bolton Hill, almost on your way to Penn Station, that area, where Artscape. It's very near Artscape.
I would call it the 5th Regiment Armory.
Thank
where
you.
I used
there
to run
you
into
go.
There
track.
You go.
That's,
right.
That's it.
Spent some long nights there as a high school principal.
We all
meets
did.
That went on forever.
We all
go
did.
Ahead.
It never ended.
No, forever. Went forever.
But the challenge with those government buildings is similar to the challenge we had at Lexington Market. Older building, you know, it's just not, the air quality is not as strong, it's just not appealing for employees, so it's hard to attract employees. So the state has that problem, how to make their own employees, you know, first of all, attract more employees and make them productive. But the neighborhood needs something better. So Downtown Partnership has been neutral on it because it's an important neighborhood and, you know, they deserve some investment up there. But the minute the governor announced that he wanted to relocate jobs downtown, of course, we have to leap at that opportunity. And so there are a couple buildings in particular along Charles Street that the state could definitely help by moving in. Pratt Street is very healthy, and they don't even have contiguous space that could probably accommodate any state agencies. We're about 90% occupied along Pratt Street, similar in Harbor East. But it's really
I did not know that. That doesn't even say. I mean, I'm not disputing that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. I live a block from
it
there.
It doesn't feel like that to
it
you?
It does
is that
not
what you're
at all
right, well, let Kirby
feel
talk about
like
that.
Human beings out at lunch in the mornings. I mean, traffic fine. I get out and I feel cars, but I don't feel humans, even on sunny days, sniffing around the harbor, sniffing around Lexington Mar, anywhere, even to get lunch.
Yeah.
I don't see the physical amount of people that I did 25 years ago.
That's why we did a farmer's market at Pratt & Life, because, first of all, when we started it, people were like, no one's going to come out. And the minute we started doing it, it's Thursdays.
My wife knows about it. We're so accustomed to the Sunday market.
Okay.
Down at
that's a great market.
Oh, man, we go every Sunday. Kiefer pours me orange juice. But that thing that you're doing, that's significant.
You got to draw people out. And one thing, I love to give tours when there's fire alarms going off in buildings because you finally see the buildings empty.
Right.
So there are lots of people. I said we're 14th in the country in the number of employees.
You don't have your ambassadors running in pulling alarms.
I will not admit to any of that. But it is extraordinary when there have been fire alarms. You see all these people in the buildings. So Baltimore is fairly easy to drive in and out of, despite complaints. It's fairly easy, except for like 1 hour in the afternoon and 1 hour in the morning. But it's fairly easy to drive in and out. You go right to your parking garage and go in your building, and you'll go one or two blocks for lunch, and that's what people do. And we don't have a lot of retirees living downtown. When I think in New York City, like I go out to a brunch at 10:30 on a Tuesday, you're going to see some supermodels, you'll see some retirees, you'll see some people who are
people
just
either working or they're not there.
So we have workers, so we got people who are working, and so you see them during lunch. I also like to give tours around 5 o'clock. It feels very alive at 5 p.m. Very alive. A lot of people moving
I agree with that. Yeah. At 5 p.m., I see all the folks walking back toward Federal Hill.
Yeah.
With
see all the women who've taken their heels off and have their sneakers on, right?
Federal Hill's a huge dog. You know, a lot of single people, a lot of animals. People have to walk their dog, right? So between 5 and 7, I would agree with you, there is a twilight period where you walk through Federal Hill and you feel like you're in a neighborhood, not in a place where there is nobody.
Jumping back, and this is Nestor's neighborhood, and I love this discussion, Kirby.
It is
very different.
Yeah.
And again, I think a lot of folks have tried to follow it. Is there, I want to state this the right way, is there enough demand to fill new development at State Center and continue to grow the Charles Center portion of the core, or is it an either or? What respond to that?
It depends if you're talking about the office market.
I am.
The office market is consistently a challenge. First of all, people don't know this, but downtown, when I define it broadly, the 1 mile radius, went from 10 million square feet to 20 million square feet over the past 20 years, 30 years. That's doubling of the office market, and we've been able to absorb most of it. But still, the rents, even on Pratt Street, are still about the same as they were, a few dollars more than they were like 20 years ago. So that's not a good for the property owners. It's great for the tenants.
It's terrible for me.
Yeah,
I know this.
Yeah, exactly.
My own property downtown. That's how Baltimore Positive was built. You know, I mean,
good.
I've had a property for 20 months, and I'm having trouble selling it. So therefore, I'm screaming, and that's why you're here.
Because
we need to scream until we make it better.
And that's where, even though Morgan Stanley just brought hundreds of employees right to Charles and Light, Pandora brought hundreds of employees to Howard and Pratt. These things are happening, but it's just not enough. And thankfully, there's a bunch of smaller businesses that are starting to pop up, like Fearless. They're at Spark, which is a co-working space in Power Plant Live. They went from about 12 employees to about 100 in a few years. So we need to nurture those types. That's the future for us. You can't rely on some of these big companies moving in. But Dave, to get to your point about why people are not moving around, we're not going to talk about crime too much, right? But I think because of the perception issues.
No, we're going to talk about crime.
We will talk about crime.
This is not a PR show. This is a real show.
Okay, good.
We'll talk.
All right, good. Well, all right, fine. That's good.
We can't talk city without talking. We'll come back in another segment.
But I do think because of the perception issues, people jump in their cars and go home. So you don't see them wandering around.
I don't jump in my car. I live here. I don't go home. Home. This is home. I get on my feet and I walk over to harbor, across the harbor. That's how I stay skinny, being old. I'm loving this conversation. I want to talk about animals, too. Can we do that?
Sure,
we're
going to
come back.
Animals.
We're going to thank our sponsors at Jennings, State Fair, Fadley, Center, Maryland. We are with the CEO of the Downtown Partnership. He's getting ready for a big job change. We got a lot more to talk about downtown. We're going to talk about
African penguins.
Penguins and polar bears and his Snakes. New adventure. Nestor, where are we today?
We're at Lexington Market. We're at Fadley's. You know, I've already eaten the crab cakes. I'll just show you the empty glass of water here. Crab cakes, I had the macaroni and cheese today.
You love the macaroni and cheese here.
I do, and I didn't even know they had it because, like, they have fish over here, all different kinds. They have muskrat. They have raccoon. But you would never know that. You know why, Kirby? When I come here, what do I get?
Crab cake.
And what else do I get? French fries and coleslaw.
That's exactly what I get every time.
That's what I've been getting every single time. They have, like, stew here. They have onion rings that are delicious.
I see some yoga, hot yoga in your future.
Got to walk down. Got to walk down Lake Street to do that.
Yeah, good.
We got another segment to go.
Very hard doing yoga above the place with the best breakfast in town, too. But we'll get to that. I'm Nestor. He's Don. Kirby Fowler is our guest. We're talking Downtown Partnership, and we're talking about the future of Baltimore. We are WNST.net and Baltimore Positive. We're back for more from Fadley's in Lexington Market right after this.